This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Whoa, 43 at your house this morning?
Yes, it was 43 at my house, and all I had was a long sleeve shirt. And I debated, should I go in and get a coat? And I said, nah, I'll tough it out.
Yeah, I'm a man.
I can get all the way to my truck and turn on the heater.
Yeah.
Cold. That's the coldest it's been this summertime here.
Fall is in the air.
I hope. Fall on some rain.
Well, what's on the agenda today?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to talk about stuff.
Okay. I'll just sit here and listen.
Okay. No, I've got some of it is kind of repetitive of what I've done in the past, but I read an article. And by the way, if you have a question about your lawn, garden, et cetera, 673-4464.
That's it.
What, we got one?
No, I said I'm agreeing that's the right correct phone number.
I know. I've memorized it. It's hard. All the phone numbers I got running around in my skull.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, sometimes I can't remember my own home phone.
I can't either.
What is it?
I never call it. So.
I very seldom do. But anyway, questions, 673-4464. And this is basically information about your yard and ideas that you can have and things you can contemplate and think about and all that. But there's one thing I want to say prior to me starting. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Kyle and his newscast this morning at 7 o'clock.
Right.
And he mentioned my name. Oh. And so today at 4, blah, 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 Mike Winters, been on there decades and decades. In fact, he's older than dirt is what the quote was.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just confronted him with that.
Oh, did you?
Before I came in here, yes. And he tried to deny it.
No, did he?
Yeah. Anyway, I just finished reading an article in the Capital Press, which is an agricultural newspaper. Good one.
You like that one.
Yeah, it's good information, tells you what's happening, what farmers are doing, and how they're suffering from lack of water, and how their crops are, some of them are good, some of them are not so good, that kind of thing. So it's a weekly, and there are some good articles, and then there's some that are, I don't care about how many cows will be born in Oregon in 2020 or something like that. But anyway, it's a good one. Just finishing the article that caught my attention was about lawns. Mm. And we have too many lawns, and we're wasting water on lawns. And I went, So I read the article. And it had to be written by a lawn Nazi. That's all I can think. Yeah.
Anti-lawn person.
Anti-lawn person. Yeah, that's how it sounded. And I thought, what? In the Capital Press? Are they nuts? Anyway, they talked about getting rid of your lawn and planting shrubs in raised beds. Well, I've talked about those subjects numerous times. And like I say, I was wondering, are these anti-lawn wackos, or do they have some valid points? So I continued to read past.
Every lawn matters.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Perfect. and so I read the whole article just to make sure I was seeing the thing in the right vein, okay?
Yeah.
And here, this is kind of a quickie list of some of the reasons that they stated for not having a lawn. Okay. Now, and these are numbers. I don't know where they got the numbers from, but they say in the United States, we have 40 to 50 million acres of lawn. And I don't know, I didn't see a breakdown on where these lawns are. Mm-hmm. And my question was, are they including parks, athletic fields, schools, golf courses, or just home lawns? And I thought, that ought to make the golf course people happy. But anyway, the amount of money spent keeping these lawns green in 2020 is the next thing that came out there. And I thought, in my line of work, I see lawns every day in Douglas County, and I don't see a lot of green lawns, so obviously we're not part of the wasteful lawn Nazis, but anyway. Americans, they say, are spending $105 billion a year to keep their lawns green. That's a lot of money.
Keep somebody smiling.
I don't know how they where they grab these numbers. And it says the number of gallons of water is said to be 3 trillion gallons used on lawns.
Seems a little high.
Well, yeah, I'd say, you know, 2.9 trillion would probably be more accurate.
Be about right.
Yeah. 3 trillion gallons of water to keep your lawn green. Okay. Mm-hmm. I doubt that simply because I speak to hundreds of people every year. With brown, dry lawns. Mm-hmm. I mean, they call and say, hey, my lawn is brown, and I've been watering, but blah, blah, blah. And they're watering incorrectly. And maybe they are. And they probably didn't, whoever put the lawn in didn't prep the soil correctly. And, you know, and I've talked about these things numerous times. And, you know, like I say, I speak to hundreds of people, not each year, but over a course of a few years. And, you know, they say, well, what do I do and how do I do it? And this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And most folks don't water enough. And when they do, it's the wrong time of day.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say they don't water enough, I'm talking about they water for 5 or 10 minutes and think that's a watering. And I've explained that until I've been blue in the face over this show over the years. And then usually they do it in the wrong time of day, middle of the afternoon, when most of the water is evaporated into the sky and hopefully makes a cloud somewhere. But, you know, the wrong time of the day and too little water and not long enough. Those are the three reasons a lot of times that the lawns are brown. And there are some other items on my list here, too. But, of course, watering in midday in the heat is a waste of water and money. I mean, it's not doing any good. And 5 to 10 minutes of water doesn't help a lawn. It just doesn't do it. Maybe in December it would, but not in the middle of summer.
Who needs it in December?
You know, and if homeowners would educate themselves on what it takes to grow a nice lawn before they begin, the finished product could stay green with less fertilizer, less frequent watering, and proper mowing technique throughout the summer. And I've discussed all those items just many, many times. And it's not complicated, but you need to practice that consistently if you want a green lawn in the middle of August.
Stop watering the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. So many sprinklers I see are hitting streets and sidewalks, and only maybe 50% of the water coming out of that particular sprinkler head is actually hitting a lawn.
Yep.
And then they cut it short.
Yeah.
And the not only did the article also claimed that 3 billion with a B gallons of gas is not good and for our mowers and things, and we should convert to electric mowers and garden equipment. Have you ever used an electric mower?
Yeah.
What did you think?
It clogged up a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't run real well, and it kept getting unplugged.
You know,
I forget about where.
Right, forget about where you were.
Yeah.
Well, here's a funny story. One time I'm at my father-in-law's house down in Northern California, and he had an electric mower. And he said something about mowing the lawn. I said, hey, I'll do it for you, Arnold. He said, well, I got an electric mower. I said, well, how hard can that be? You just plug it in and go, right? He said, you got to watch the cord. I said, oh, come on. What do you think, I'm stupid? So I get out there and I start mowing, and I did about two, three rounds, and I guess I wasn't watching the cord closely enough because I ran over and cut it in half. And, of course, he laughed and mocked me for the rest of our visit, and he had to buy a new extension cord for his mower. But, you know, what the heck? I had never used one of those silly things before. Yeah, and like what you said, it didn't cut like a regular mower. There was something missing. It was a power thing or so. And maybe on a small little lawn it might be good for somebody. I'm not sure. Or maybe they ought to have just a giant battery in there that doesn't have a cord attached to the mower, and
you
wouldn't cut it to shreds. So anyway. But there's 3 billion gallons of gas was used in lawnmowers and other lawn equipment and garden equipment. And I was thinking, well, that would take a whole lot of paperwork to keep track of mower gas sales.
Well, yeah.
You know, come on. Give me a break.
A little gallon here or gallon.
Yeah. And the last comment about lawns was the size.
Oh.
Can't have a big lawn. Big lawns are bad.
Again, size matters.
I guess that the football fields, baseball fields, and golf courses need to go to artificial turf or something to please these guys. Lawns are too large. Okay.
Huh.
Well, maybe somebody wants a large lawn. Maybe they got five kids and they want the kids to stay home and play in the lawn in the backyard. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. And I'm reading this thing and I'm almost yelling at the newspaper. Uh-huh. But what idiot wrote this? But the article was big on raised beds with shrubs and vegetables in place of lawns, which I agree. I mean, I think that's a good idea. I have a raised bed.
Yeah.
That I grow my garden in, and I got no argument with raised beds. And if it's done correctly, they can be attractive to the whole landscape, to the whole yard, and of course they use less water and fertilizer, which is the point of this article that I read. However, but like I said, the tone of the article was almost political on how we should garden and landscape our yards. And I thought, think about that.
They might mandate it.
Yeah, they might mandate it. Don't let Governor Brown hear about it, for crying out loud. Oh, gosh, do we have a commercial yet? Or
not yet.
Okay, we're going. But there are some very, and I'm going to, and I've repeated myself about this many, many times, and, you know, if I could get 10,000 people to listen to this, it'd probably make a difference, but the most important aspect of building a lawn or a landscape properly is the ground preparation. Most of Douglas County is hard clay. I mean, it's got rocks in it and everything else. You've got to prepare the soil. You can't just run a tiller through that rocky, hard ground, throw seed or sod on it,
and call
it good and water it and say, hey, what's wrong with my lawn here? You know, it's not coming up. The seed must not be doing good. No, not really.
I want my money back.
Yeah, I want my money back. But a lot of the problems that people run into is because the soil wasn't prepared correctly. And if the soil had been amended, then the root systems can become established and get healthy. And amended, of course, is tilling the original soil as much as you can and breaking it up as much as you can, removing rocks and roots and all that kind of stuff. That's only step one. That's not the finished product. Step two is to add compost material and till this into the original soil. And when it's thoroughly mixed with compost material, where it's like almost half and half, you can put your hand down through your tilling at least 6 inches, you know you've got some good preparation there.
Okay.
And that's what counts. With no resistance, you know, there's another rock down there. But then, you know, the new grass roots can penetrate and become established. If you fail to prep, then they're not going to happen, and the roots won't survive, and the grass will struggle and die. Yeah. So there's your choices. If you want a lawn, do it correctly. Go through the steps. Mm-hmm. If you don't, not listening to this program, or if I'm speaking too quickly on how to prep and everything, there are books on lawns at the box stores that give you step-by-step information, almost as good as mine. But, you know, since we do this all the time for a living, we have to produce results. We have to make our clients happy. We have to make our clients pleased with the product that we install in their yard, be it seed or sod.
And boy, if you don't, they let you know.
Oh, yeah. You get a phone call. Hey, look, some of this. Well, you know, in the early days, I thought I was prepping correctly. And as I went on and I learned more, I began to add more nutrition in the line of compost even fine grind old bark mulch will help break up the junky stuff, and when you blend it all together, the grassroots love it. I mean, it's okay. They can penetrate. They can actually get down and
get
established.
Get down in there and get their job done.
Right. We got a break now.
We do.
Okay, I'll be back.
All righty. More about lawns, I'm assuming, next.
Yeah. I'm on a roll now.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, at last check, I believe it was about 82 degrees. Did it feel that warm?
Yeah, it's about 82.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pleasant. I never thought 82 would be so pleasant. It's beautiful. Just, anyway, I'm talking about lawns today.
Yep.
And the correct preparation and the incorrect preparation and why lawns are brown. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little story I'm going to attach to this here pretty quick.
Okay.
But like I said, the most important, the very most important aspect of building a lawn or a landscape properly is the ground preparation. Without good ground prep, I don't care what you do, you're going to have trouble with lawns or trees or shrubs or any of that. Mm-hmm. And like I say, whether it's a seed lawn or sod lawn, that soil has to be prepared for the lawn. And a lot of problems that people run into is because it just wasn't prepared correctly. That's as simple as it gets. I can't get any more to the point. And if the soil has been amended, like I said earlier, the root systems can become established very quickly and they're healthy. And tilling that original soil, removing all those rocks, etc., that's what you do. So a lady calls me the other day, last week, and wanted a bid on a new lawn because she had a sod lawn that was installed, but it's all brown and dead. And I said, okay. And sparse. I said, all right. So I go over out there in green, and a nice lady. And it was a circular round lawn with one sprinkler head in the middle of this lawn. One sprinkler head. Okay. And she had two main problems. And I didn't have a shovel with me. I said, can I borrow your shovel? I mean, I could tell instantly what was wrong, but I wanted to show her. And I got the shovel out and I dug into the ground and I only got about 2 inches. That's how hard the soil was.
Geez.
About 2 inches, and it was full of little tiny rocks and clay and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I showed her. I said, well, this is one reason. There was no preparation done prior to another professional installing your sod. Mm-hmm. And it was brown, the whole thing, and a lot of it was vacant. The grass had died and blown away in the wind.
Gave up.
Yeah. And then the other problem was that one sprinkler head in the middle was not putting out enough water to water the lawn, because that whoever did the job hooked that one lawn sprinkler into her drip system. And the drip system was actually putting out more water than the lawn sprinkler. And I thought, well, we to do it right, we have to separate. They have to be on two different valves. In other words, they can't run at the same time.
Yeah.
The drip runs at 4 in the morning, and the lawn runs the rest of the time. And there should be a valve to do that. But the ground was just so hard, I just couldn't believe it. No soil amendments had been tilled in. There was no preparation at all that I could see. Mm. Zero prep. I mean, they might have tilled it and smoothed it or something, but it had only been in a year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And it was deader than a doornail, all of it.
No.
Yeah. She said, well, in the wintertime, it greened up. I said, yeah, well, it had plenty of water in the wintertime, and it was cool, but... that sod, those roots, and I explained what I'm saying here today to her, those roots can't get down, or if they do, it's very slowly, and when you get extreme hot weather like mm-hmm. we've had, with as little water as you're putting onto it, it's a non-survival type of situation.
Yeah.
And she got what I was talking about. And like I said, this one sprinkler head, it was one of those rotate, and it did the whole circle. It covered the whole circle, mm-hmm. but the volume of water coming out of it was minimal. I mean, it wasn't enough. I mean, you could probably keep it on for 2 hours, and it might wet the whole place, but adequately,
yeah.
But just no way. and when I saw that it was, and I heard this noise when she turned it on, I saw the sprinkler come up, and then I heard this additional noise, and I look over into her shrub bed, and these drip things were just throwing the water out like gangbusters. And there was probably, 30 small heads throwing water on the shrubs. The shrubs looked fine.
I was going to say, yeah, they were
doing okay. It was just the excuse me,
the grass.
The grass, it needed it. They were getting the majority of the water. And like I say, it should have been on. We have a call?
We do.
Okay, I'll take the call.
All righty. Caller, you're on the air with Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. Danny here. Calling to ask your advice on renovating my front flower garden. I removed all the old plants, and I'm going to have some drip put in. But I want to lay down some plastic and then put some kind of rock on top of that. What is your opinion on this red lava rock?
The lava rock is okay. It also, in the summertime, it also absorbs all the heat from the sun, so it heats up the bed over what it normally would be. And what you do with the plants, you have to dig a fairly good size hole and put some very good soil in there so the plant has some relief from the heat. And don't put the lava rock right up against the plant. I mean, leave a little space there so that there can be some airflow between the root system. But if you put the lava rock right up against it, or any rock right up against it, what's going to happen is when it's 104 or 110, the rock really gets hot. So at the base of the plant, it's maybe 115 or something like that, and the roots are suffering from that. So just make sure that you leave a little space there and give good soil in each planting hole so that the plant has some relief.
Okay, what about a rock that doesn't absorb the heat, like river rock or something?
Well, there are some white rock around, a decorative white rock, and it reflects heat. And there's some that are white with green streaks through it, and it deflects heat. The lava rock or even river rock, because it's gray, will absorb the heat. Now the white rock will absorb a little bit of heat, but nothing in comparison to the lava rock.
Where could I get that white rock?
You can get it at the co-op out in but past the college. You can get it at Magnolia Farms, and there's a place, and the name is escaping me right now, right on Stevens. Oh gosh, Cowboy Tree Service, that's what it is, and they have rock too.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate that, Mike.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Alrighty.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, it's a little after 4:30, so we can have another call or two before the break.
You think?
We got time. 673-4464.
Hey, that's good. You remember,
Yay.
Huh? Oh, goodness. Well, anyway, I was talking about this client and this customer wanted me to give her a bid on a new sod lawn. And I told her all the things that I've just explained, and I showed her because she could see. Mm-hmm. And I says, you know, it just doesn't work if you don't do that. If you don't do the required preparation, you're just asking for problems. And that's what. And I said, by the way, do you have the bid the guy gave you? And she says, just a minute. She went in and gave me the sheet, and I looked at what he did, and there was no organic material included in the preparation at all. So that's why I assumed that he just tilled up the existing stuff to a certain depth and smoothed it out and laid the sod.
Did it from there. Yeah.
So, and he also installed that one sprinkler head in the center, which is not a bad idea. And I told her that there are sprinkler heads that are more effective as well that will give her a better spray pattern. And if we get the job, that's what we'll do. We'll take that one out possibly and put a head in there that has a better spray pattern, because this is one of the old-fashioned ones, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it gets It gets the stuff out there at the end where the water droplets are hitting, but doesn't get stuff real close. If you don't have the water pressure and you don't have the volume going through that, it complicates the whole thing too. So, I'm going to give her a bid tomorrow probably and let her go from there. But the required prep. If you don't do it, you're asking for problems. Spend the money and the time and do it correctly, and you'll have a good time with your lawn. Now, the article I read about getting rid of lawns is bogus as far as I'm concerned, written by someone with little knowledge or experience. I mean, I could tell from the way the article was written. I put in thousands of lawns, thousands. And yeah, did I make mistakes when I first started? Yeah. But I learned from those mistakes when people would come, hey, lawn, rah, rah, and I go, what can I do? Mm-hmm. How can I do it? I should have known that, and I should have done that. And so I corrected it. You know, it's how it works. But, nice lawns, think about this. Nice lawns will keep your yard cooler in summer by at least 5 degrees. And if you have a few shade trees around, you could be cooling your yard by maybe up to 10 degrees, depending on the angle of the sun.
That makes a difference.
It does, absolutely. And that also cuts down on your use of air conditioning inside the home by a little bit. And any little bit of savings that you can accomplish, hey, you're good.
Money in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah. So nice.
Speaking of money, we got to make some money for the station here.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Take a break.
Oh, good.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It is 4:38 Wednesday time, no doubt. That's why Mike is here.
Yeah, the guy that's older than dirt, according to Kyle. here I am. Anyway, yeah. I've been talking about lawn prep and this outfit that wrote a article in the Capital Press saying lawns, we need to get rid of our lawns and put other things in place. Well, I don't agree with that concept, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks that, it's a bogus thing written by someone, like I said, with little knowledge or experience. And prior to the break, I was speaking about nice lawns that are green. They keep your yard cooler in the summer. They really do. There's maybe 5 degrees cooler. And nice lawns, think about this, are pleasing to the eye, and homes with nice lawns sell quicker and at a higher price than homes without. You can have a very nice landscaped front yard, but it's been proven, and the real estate industry backs it up, if a potential buyer goes to a home that's for sale and there's a beautiful lawn in the front, it's more pleasing, looks more inviting, and the sales are quicker when that kind of thing happens. And just think about this, children don't like to roll around on brown bumpy dry lawns. They like to roll around on lush green lawns, and also nice lawns add clean oxygen to breathe. No, so those are some of the things that lawns do that were overlooked in this article that I read. And if you don't want a lawn, that's okay. There are many ground cover substitutes that you can plant for greenery. But remember, shrubs and trees need good soil to grow and be healthy. So no matter what you put in, the ground prep is very important. It's step one, as I said earlier. And you don't have to, if you're doing a ground cover, in each planting hole, which they'd be smaller because the plants would be smaller initially, you'd be putting a couple of handfuls of, maybe three handfuls of good compost material in each planting hole. And that way they root out very quickly. In a tree with a bigger root ball, you've got a little bit more work to do. But that's okay. You can do it, and you can make them very attractive. But they need to have ground prep. I mean, you just can't dig a hole, stick it in, and shove the dirt back in there and stomp it down and then water the snot out of it and expect it to live. It ain't going to happen. Now, I've spoken about proper watering numerous times, and I get calls on brown lawns, and the first question I ask the person on the other end of the phone is, what's your watering schedule? And how often, how much, that kind of stuff. But the usual answer is, oh, I water every day. And I ask, how long do you water every day and what time of day? Well, the answer is, on an average, about 10 minutes. And sometimes in the morning, but then sometimes in the afternoon. And then I explain to them that 10 minutes a day isn't enough to penetrate the soil down to the root systems that need the water to make the grass grow and live. And if you water when it's warm and sunny and hot, I mean not just warm but hot, yeah, most of that water is being evaporated and not getting down into the grass at all. It's being evaporated. It's maybe 50% of it's being evaporated on a 100-degree day. Mm-hmm. It's not even hitting the ground.
Does nobody no good.
No, it doesn't. And all it does is pump up your water bill, and you got a brown lawn.
City might like it.
Or a lawn that's, it's got some weeds, it's got this, it's got that. It's not nice.
It's not consistent.
So I tell them what the solution is to water at least 30 minutes per zone 3 days a week on hot spells. But not every day for 10 minutes, because it's not doing your lawn any good. But 30 minutes before the sun rises, that water, for the most part, 95% of it's going to get into the grass and penetrate the soil, loosen the soil, and get down into the root zone, and the grass will respond accordingly. I mean, that's it. And then the second question I ask is, how often do you fertilize, and what type of fertilizer do you use? And the answer is, well, in the spring, and that's it. Yeah, that's. I said, well, that's a good start, but a green, healthy lawn needs fertilizing on a regular basis, just like we need to eat on a regular basis. We don't eat once a month. We eat two or three times a day or more, depending. Fertilizer on a regular basis means spring, summer, and fall at the minimum. And you don't want to do it when the temperature is 90 above in the summer. But in a cool morning where we've had a break in the hot weather and it's only going to get 80 or 85 that day, you do it early in the morning, water the snot out of it, get that fertilizer down into the root zones, and bingo, you score. You do good. You do good for the lawn, and you're not wasting any water. It's actually getting down where it belongs. And the well-balanced fertilizer will be more expensive because it will contain trace elements for a well-balanced food. There are fertilizers that you can get for $5.95 a bag for 40 pounds or 20 pounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're worthless. They're absolutely worthless. Anything on sale that cheap, don't buy it. It's not going to do you any good. You'd have to put 50 bags of stuff on there, geez, before you see any results.
Now, there's a bargain.
Yeah, there's a bargain. But, go for the expensive brand. Read the labels. See what's in it. Every fertilizer has three main elements: phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. And there's three numbers on the bag or the bottle or whatever you're buying. It will tell you the percentage of those things. Lawn fertilizers have a high percentage of nitrogen. It's the thing that really greens things up. It's a very high percentage. It's like 70% or 80% or something like that. And then the phosphorus and the potassium is for root development and making it stronger and better, so that you don't have some kind of a bug or something go in there and try to eat up your lawn. But you get the expensive one, and it's going to also contain trace elements like zinc and boron and manganese and those kinds of things that we don't even think about or hear about or didn't know they even existed. But they'll have those trace elements, and they'll have a smaller percentage of the trace elements, and that's where you get the well-balanced fertilizer for optimum growth. And you can also, they also have shrub and tree fertilizer with the same kind of concoction of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and trace elements. Anytime you get trace elements, anytime you get the better fertilizer, it's going to be maybe twice as much probably $29.95 a bag for a 40-pound bag or something like that. But it goes a long ways. You don't put a lot on. You don't have to put a lot on because it's high-powered. It's the difference between eating a Snickers bar when you're hungry or a well-balanced meal, okay, which is going to be better for you in the long run. And I'm staring at a Snickers bar right here in front of me when I said that, by the way. And again, when you fertilize, water immediately for at least 30 minutes to activate that fertilizer. So that it'll actually go down into the soil, into the root zone. And read those ingredients and buy the full meal deal. It's good. And a well-fed lawn is going to stay greener for a longer time. And another tip, don't cut the lawn too short. Don't scalp it. If you do, the grass is going to burn and turn yellow. And I see so many lawns that are cut way too short. And they're cut, you know, every week or every 10 days or something like that. Just when the green stuff is starting to get back, the person who is mowing goes out there and lowers that mower deck and scalps it off. So, well, I don't have to mow so much now. Right. But the lawn is yellow and sometimes brown. And it also increases weed growth because the weeds don't have to compete with a healthy lawn. So they spring up. You know, it's it keep it long. Throughout the hot summer, you know, June, July, August, maybe even to September. But if you want to cut it short, you know, we get a few rains, we get cooler weather, a longer stretch, go ahead and cut it short because then the grass is not going to burn and it won't hurt it as much. But that new green grass is what keeps it alive. That's what takes the nutrition and processes the food for the plant so that it can stay green and stay healthy and stay lush for you. That's the whole meal deal, okay? Now, when you also mow it higher, it will stay wetter longer and it'll stay green longer. And lastly, any bug problems are going to be minimal. So one last thing to check. Is there a buildup of thatch? And thatch is just grass, you know, that's been cut that didn't get sucked up by the mower and bagged in. You know, there's always a portion of grass that doesn't get sucked up into the bag or whatever.
It's that nasty stuff.
Yeah. And it's not, you can't see it. It doesn't look bad. When you're done mowing, you can't tell that that's happening. But it filters down into the grass.
Yeah.
And after a while, it builds up a thatch, and the thatch is like a thatch roof. It repels water, and if you have to, you know, kind of check. And if you're walking across your lawn and it feels kind of spongy, kind of bouncy, that's a thatch buildup, and you need to get rid of it. Especially if your lawn is not responding when you're watering or fertilizing, because it's not getting down because the thatch is keeping it out. And that's the bottom line there. And if the thatch is not removed, again, it's going to prevent all that other work and all that other expense with water and fertilizer from getting into the grassroots. So the solution is to rent a thatching machine from a rental place. Do we have a call?
No, we have a break.
We have a break? Okay, I'll get back to the thatching machine the break.
More thatching.
Catch it.
In a couple of minutes, right here, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
time and a whole lot of energy and effort to do something like that. But that machine, it might cost you $60 to rent, but I'll tell you what, that $60 is well worth it because it does a fantastic job. And then when you walk, after you've thatched it and cleaned it all up, you walk across the lawn, it's not spongy and mm-hmm. you're not bouncing up and down because you actually can feel the soil underneath your feet.
It's not a trampoline.
Yeah, right, not a trampoline. And then after you've thatched it, you rent another machine, and some people call them a plugger. And what it does, you go across your lawn and it pulls plugs of soil out, but you can't do it. You can't use the plugger until you've thatched it, because otherwise it would just bounce around and not really get down into the soil. The reason for, this is a lawn that's, old and yellow and you want to revive it. Well, the reason you do that is so after you're done plugging it, after all the soil plugs have been pulled out, then you fertilize it very heavily, actually, and water it very heavily, and then when that's happening, the fertilizer in the water is actually getting down into below the grass, into the root zone, and in a matter of, maybe 5 to 7 days, you see a dramatic difference in your lawn. Oh, all of a sudden, quick. It's green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a call here.
Okay, we got a call. I'm ready.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Okay, real quick. Yes. Having said all that, I want to thatch my lawn.
Okay.
It's about a 25 by 60 rectangular piece.
Okay.
I've got 3 zones for water.
Mm-hmm.
Down the middle, I have nothing but 360s. And along the edges, I have 180s.
Okay.
I'm not getting enough water down the middle to my 360s.
How many zones do you have for that?
3.
Three zones. And so, why aren't you getting enough? Have you actually, the 360, of course, is twice the water of a 180. You understand that?
Yeah, okay. So here's the question. Since the 2 outside zones are 180s and they're doing fine, since I'm going to be down to that level anyway, can I put a 1-inch line down the middle to feed more water to the 360s?
Absolutely. Do you know what size line you got down there now?
Yeah, it's 3/4.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually use bigger pipe just to have more volume to get out to it. The pressure is important, but if you have the volume of water, the pressure is almost insignificant because it's pushing out that water anyway, and it'll give you better coverage.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get the thatching, and I thought since I'm going to be down to that level anyway, I might as well dig up that middle zone and replace that pipe.
Yeah, do it.
Cool.
And you might want to adjust the 180s, if they're, are they reaching the middle of the lawn at all? You said it's 25 feet wide?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
I'm getting good coverage with them. I'm just not out of the middle zone with the 360s.
Okay. Well, there might be an obstruction in it too, so it's good to put a new pipe in and jack it up a little bit and see if it makes a difference.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All righty.
Are we out of time, or I got some more time?
Yeah, got a minute.
Okay, in a minute, I'm going to finish up with this plugging thing. You got the plugs out, you fertilized, you watered heavy, and now the grass roots are going to get the food and water. And you need to check with your lawn about every 3 to 5 years to see that if it needs it or not. Some lawns I've done this to have never had it done in 10 or 15 years. So it's a real difference. And we did one over in Eucrest on Linwood one time about 2 months ago. And it was brown. It was, still kind of cool. It was brown, yeah. And they had a good sprinkler system in there. But you'd be amazed at how much thatch we took out of there. And then we plugged it and then reseeded. And we had some real bare spots. We reseeded it and seeded it heavy, covered it with potting soil, and sucked the water to it, the fertilizer to it. And within 5 to 10 days, the whole thing was green, it was lush, and my client said, it's growing too fast. I said, that's what you wanted. But he was happy.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
All righty, that's going to wrap it.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, if you listened, and I hope you learned something.
All right. We'll see you next time, Mike.
Okay.